Blessings to you all on this beautiful fall Sunday morning here in Northeast Ohio. As we begin, I invite you to hear this prayer and to pray it along with me. Open, Lord, my eyes that I may see. Open, Lord, my ears that I may hear. Open, Lord, my heart and my mind that I may understand. So shall I turn to you and be healed. Amen. On Wednesday evening, our first Wednesday Night Live took place, and the one word that was the focus of the majority of our time together was this massive word called faithfulness. And the beautiful ways in which some of our hymns and the beautiful ways in which a lot of Scripture direct us and point us to that very powerful and life-altering word. But for this morning, the one word that we are going to journey through is the powerful word of hope. And if there's one word, and there could be other words, but if there's one word that I think we really need to sink our heart and our feet and our life into right now and in the days ahead, is the powerful word hope. And this morning we're going to look at a bunch of different passages that direct us in that way. But one of the hymns that always comes to mind when I hear the word hope is, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness." Man, that song is powerful. Song is so, so powerful. These are some things that I believe. I believe words are stronger than sticks and stones. This I believe. I've always loved words. My life's vocation is and has been revolved around words. I believe God spoke the world into existence with "let it be," "let there be," and also "it is good," and saved it once and for all with "it is finished." I know the power of words, and so do you. I think of stirring words like "I have a dream," "one small step for mankind, one giant step for mankind," "Lazarus, come out and mount up with wings like eagles," and more personal words, "I, Michael, take you, Carrie. You have a son. You have a daughter. You have another daughter." More deeper words like "it's cancer." Of comforting words like "see you in the morning. There's ice cream Snickers bars in the freezer. In His name, the nations will put their hope. I will not leave you as orphans. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now abide in my love. Receive the Holy Spirit. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still choose to believe. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. This I believe. I think of idle words, trivial, gossipy, words that neither edifies nor uplifts, but erodes and plants false impressions and carelessly tramples. And I think of words that build up. "You can do this. I believe in you. Come on in." I think of words of deception, your insurance will pay. Fits all sizes. Lies. I think of confessional words that knock the legs out from under Satan and let the air out of pretensions. I think of words of love. She walks in beauty like the night. Hi, sweetheart, and call when you get there. Of scary words. There's been an accident. Mom, Dad, we need to talk. And I think of terrible wounding words we send out like missiles. Fat, ugly, stupid, retard, whore. Short little words that hit their marks and sear in pain so vivid that decades later they still burn. I take words seriously, and I believe that you do as well. I have been hurt more by words than anything else. Words written, words spoken, and words unspoken. And I have drawn life and courage from words. Stayed afloat, stayed faithful, and just stayed because of words. This morning, we all have the invitation to spend a few moments allowing the Word of God to direct our hearts to this powerful and life-altering word, hope. Now, what often happens when we talk about hope is twofold. And I think you'll agree with this. The first one is apathy. Tried hope. Here's my t-shirt. Didn't work out for me. Pessimism type of approach to hurt. Tried it. Didn't work out for me. Moving on. The next is optimism. Optimism says, how can we get this done? We can do this. How can we get this done for God in a religious type of context? Hope says, how is God acting? How is God working? And how shall we respond? And optimism, for the most part, is not all that bad. Optimism said, yes, we can go to and land on that big rock in the sky we call the moon. Yes, we can build a railroad all across the U.S. And at every turn in Cuyahoga Falls and Monroe Falls, when you desperately don't need to run into one, you will run into one. You see that wine press over there? We can use that wine press and we can take it and we can make copies of things written by hand. Henry Ford said, if I would have asked the people what they wanted, they would have asked for more horses. Optimism is not all that bad. And in many ways, optimism is what built America. But optimism is not the same thing as hope. Optimism would not have done a single thing for Jesus' body in the tomb. Not a single thing. But hope did. So for the next few moments, I'm going to direct our attention to six different directions of the word hope. The first one is in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 24. And I invite you to soak in and to hear the word of God. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Hope is just bursting forth out of this first sentence. The creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Creation itself, God's good creation, is waiting to be rescued. Waiting to be set free from the bondage that was given to it at the curse. Go back and read Genesis 3. It wasn't just humanity and the may have been walking serpent that got cursed to slither and eat the dust of the ground. But serpent was cursed, but creation itself was cursed as well as a result of the fall. And creation is wanting, desiring to be liberated just like us. It's why we pray, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Fix us and fix your creation. We cannot do it without you. It's not ours to fix in the first place. It's His. Verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth up to the present time. And not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. No, hope equals salvation. Hope is a telos. Hope is a direction. Hope is a goal of rescue. There's something powerful about this word hope. It's not just mental, but it does something to us. It's much different than optimism. I can. Hope is God can, God will. How can I join in what God is doing? So this first one here is hope is a telos. Hope is a goal. Hope has a direction with which the Word of God is inviting us to pay attention to and to pursue after, to live into and live out from. And then another one, one of the passages that we looked at on Wednesday night is Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, because I called it to mind, right? I say to myself, I look in the mirror and I say to myself, I pray this, I repeat this, I say this to myself, I coach myself with these words. The Lord is my portion. He is all I need. Because He is a God who provides. He is a God who comforts. He is a God who cares. He is a God who loves me. He is a God who is for me. He is a God who has promised to never forsake me, nor leave me, nor abandon me. And because this is a part of who the Lord is, I will wait for Him. I will lean into Him. What this passage speaks of is hope in God's character. Hope in God's goodness, because this is who we believe God to be. He is faithful and He is just. And because of that, my hope can be trusted in God's character. The third one is a part of some beautiful language in the letter we call Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18 is the first one we'll just briefly look at. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope. Hope is something that you can know. Hope is something that you can embrace. Hope is something, it's not just this cognitive idea, it is something that we know. It's almost as if Paul is describing hope as a friend. That you may know the hope to which He has called you. The riches of His glorious inheritance in His people. In chapter 2, which is one of my favorite chapters in all of the entire Bible. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 12, we have this remember a point in time. remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. This powerful invitation to believe in hope. Hope as a calling, and then hope as a rescue, as we've seen right here. You think the Bible is trying to lead us to believe in something. The fourth one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ooh, that's not the right one. Awkward moment. We're going to skip that. Actually, I'm not. To somebody with a Bible degree, they should actually remember where they actually get stuff. I know, but it's the wrong one. Is it the right one? Yeah, that's not the right verse. I don't know why I got that. That's not 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Nope. Oh, maybe it is. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Hope as a defense weapon. Hope as something that we put on to defend ourselves from whatever it is that is attacking the hope that we have. It's a very interesting kind of portrait of hope, right? Hope is something that we wear. Hope is something that we put on. Hope is something that we choose to leave our homes with and wear as we go about our day. Powerful word of hope. And then the fifth one, 1 Peter chapter 1, and some beautiful, beautiful texts that I hope I know are right. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in chapter 2, in verse 21, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you example, so that you should follow Him in His steps. Excuse me, 2 verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits us. Wow, guys, this is bad. Interesting. Sorry, guys, I'm... Is it 21? 121. Yes, there you go. Sorry. 121. Through Him you believe in God who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him. So your faith and your hope are in God. And in 3:15. 1 Peter 1, 3:15. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So what we see with the direction here that Peter is giving in 1 Peter is hope as being alive as hope is something that breathes. Hope is something that we breathe in and that is living within us. And then the second passage has to do with hope as assurance. So our faith and our hope are in God. So we exhale because faith is living in us. We breathe it in and it's its assurance, and then we breathe it out. And then hope is an apologetic. It's interesting here in 1 Peter 3:15 that he doesn't say to that you're just to out-argue somebody, that you are to outwit them, but it's your hope that is your apologetic. It is this hope, the reason that you're giving, the reason that you're defending is because of hope that you have. Hope as an apologetic. And then the sixth one. In John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have things that will attack your hope. In this world, you will have experiences, you will go through struggles, you will go through troubles. In this world, there will be things that will attack your hope. But take heart. Have hope. I have overcome the world. If we believe Jesus to be a truth teller, our hope is in Him. Our hope is in Him. Hope is a promise. So how do we pursue after hope? I would like to invite you to hear a word from Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. They'll be on the screen. And it answers, in my opinion and in my direction, what it means to pursue after hope. Because again, our hope is not in some abstract theory. Our hope is not in something that has no legs, that has no flesh, that has no real meaning to it. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in God's character. Our hope is a promise that we can believe in. In Colossians 3, verses 2 through 4, I invite you to hear these words. I'll be reading at the beginning of it in verse 1. You have been raised with Christ, and since you have been raised with Christ, align your hearts, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. This beautiful and powerful invitation for us to set our hearts, to set our minds on things above. The direction here is Jesus as King over everything, seated at the right hand of God, because He is trustworthy, because we have hope in His faithfulness, because we have hope that He is a promise keeper and He is a truth teller. We set our minds on things above. There is a podcast that I listen to almost on a weekly basis. James Brian Smith is the name of the podcaster. He's also a really good author. And he has a podcast that's simply called On Things Above. And it's based off of this passage out of Colossians chapter 3. And they're short little podcasts. They're like 12 to 15 minutes. But each one is an invitation for us to pursue setting your mind on things above. Because it's amazing what happens to us when we try, when we like cut out a little bit of what the world is inviting us to set our minds on. And instead, when we choose to set our minds on things above, where Christ is King, where He is Lord, and we are waiting for Him to return. We are waiting for Him to come back, to set our minds that way. And watch what it does to our lives. Watch what it does to our hearts. So this morning, as we draw this teaching to a close, and I hope these passages, I hope my fumbling of a couple of them did not negate or get in the way of you hearing the Word of God and the offer, the invitation that God is bringing before you to pursue after hope. Because we live in a world, and if we pay too much attention to it, it can get us down to where in this world we live like we don't have any hope. Or our hope is directed in things that will never fully satisfy. We still feel empty. But real hope fills us. Hope in Jesus fills us like absolutely nothing else. And the invitation for me, the invitation for us all, is will we pursue after that? Will we chase after that? Is hope in Jesus something that we will go after? And also, sorry about my mic. It doesn't like me today. As we draw it to a close, we are going to participate in a communal discipline called the discipline of mindfulness. And what I invite all of us to do, and I hope you'll be willing to do this with me, is to take both hands out in front of you. This will have you put your Bibles down or your notes down or whatever it may be. But take your hands out in front of you. And this is a posture of prayer. This isn't just like a charismatic type of weird type of thing. Am I going to have a snake in my hands if I close my eyes? We're not one of those churches. We don't have those around here. They may be in the ceilings, but not on the floor. But this discipline of mindfulness is you hold your hands out in front of you as a posture of prayer. And the purpose of mindfulness is with two hands opened. And you can do this anywhere. Those of you that are watching online, please participate as well. And you say something like, God, I am carrying around so much that I cannot be the person of hope. But God, that's who I want to be. So in your minds, in your hearts, and if you want to do this out loud, that's fine as well. But you pray to God, God, I can't be the person of hope, but God, I want you to help me to be. I want to be a person of hope. But God, I am carrying around too much. I'm carrying around too much. Mindfulness aims to name the things with which we are carrying with us. So in your left hand, I invite you for a few moments to name all the pains, all that which brings anxiety, concern, insecurities, addictions, resentment, unforgiveness, all that which is bringing death. I invite you to name them in your left hand. And as you're holding them in your left hand, I invite you in your right hand to name all that which brings you life, beauty, forgiveness, trust, freedom, real joy, and hope. God, we bring these things to you. because in so many ways we are the things that we carry. God, help us to lay down the darkness in our lives, the things, the habits, the choices, the voices that are killing us and robbing us of hope. And God, help us to live into and to live out from this beautiful and powerful word, hope. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. We're going to participate in another video. The first one that kicked us off was from Psalm 33. This last one that kind of bookends the teaching is from Psalm 42. Arise team, you guys will be up right after the video. But after the video, during our invitation song, if there's anyone here who would like to respond, please take advantage of this time. I will be down here to stage right. If you would like prayers from your church family, if you would like prayers from the congregation, please take advantage of that. If you like a more personal, a more one-on-one time, our shepherds will be in the prayer room. It's back to my right, your left, in the back of our foyer. However we may serve you, listen to you, pray for you, please take advantage of this time. However we may bless you this morning. Watch the video and then we'll have a song.